powerful is the Cox Network. So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are just the tracks you're looking for.
Well, hello, everybody out there in Prague land, and welcome back for another exciting episode of Prague Watch. This is Big Tony, the Prague Squatch here, and this is episode number 234. And we have an old guest host returning to the fold here. Big Steve Luttig, my fellow Sasquatch brother over there, and Dave's actual real brother. Say hi, Steve.
Hello, everybody out there in Prague land. No time, no talk. It's good to be back. Tony finally got back here on the road and doing this at my house because I am physically disabled at this current time.
So we're on location.
On location, yes. With the Squatch, we're on location. So if you see anybody out there, there has been a Squatch sighting.
In the South Hills of Pittsburgh. Well, anyway... yeah, we got a good show lined up this week, so hello to everybody out there on Progzilla, Prog Positivity, Voyage 35 Radio, and if you're listening, you know, through the Hipcast or iTunes or Stitcher, hello, hello, hello.
And hello to everybody.
And thanks for coming along for the ride once again. We've got a nice show lined up for you this time again, and first off, we have a band called the Eloy from Germany, which came out in the late 60s. And kind of started off as a harder edged band, but then kind of started evolving into more of like a psychedelic space rock kind of thing, possibly influenced by the likes of Pink Floyd. And what other influences?
King Crimson and Yes and Camel.
Okay.
And like I said, I started listening to some Camel, and I got to get more into them. They seem to be in the same realm of the music I like, because I don't like all prog out there. I like most of the symphonic and the progressive space rock more than the heavy metal and other things, but I don't even like heavy metal music. So I still like the more atmospheric type prog that's out there, and Camel sounds like it's one of them.
They are. And you were saying you only had the one album.
I only listened to the one album to base my thoughts on. So sometimes that's all it takes is one album.
Yeah, but Snow Goose, you got to get that. I'm going to have to lend that to you.
That'd be great.
That's definitely one of their crowning achievements there.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the band at hand.
Yes, Eloy, they got their name from the H.G. Wells book novel from the Time Machine, and which was pretty interesting. I never thought of it as a band name, but it is pretty good, and their art design is very nice on all their album covers that I've seen.
Yeah, they had that 70s prog kind of look to all their albums. You know, mm-hmm. they did have a lot of good artwork, and that's one thing that lacks these days. You know, you get the CD or something. It's just not as good as whenever you had the big old, like,
the vinyl, the 12 by 12, and then you can
great big picture, yeah.
get the art on the back, continue it from the front. And
you could even read the lyrics.
Yeah. Most of the time you can't these days. I mean, the type is so small. And I ran a press for all my life, and sometimes their colors do not – they put the white type on some of the oddest colors, and you just can't read it.
Plus, we're old. And our eyes
plus we're old, yes.
Our eyes are not what they used to be.
Yes.
But anyway, I almost felt like Dave was here for a minute. When I start getting on that old groove, I was thinking about Dave.
Well, I'm not that old. He's not as old as Dave.
Dave's older than both of us. Let's just
put
it
he's very wise in his old age. I guess that would go with experience, and that's what you can do with age. You can go on experience.
Yeah, that is the one good thing about getting older. Mm-hmm. You seem to get a little wiser. Most people do, anyway.
Yes, most people do. A lot of people don't, live by their mistakes or learn by their mistakes.
Right.
Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. They're not the very bright ones, so.
Yeah.
Anyway,
let's get back to music.
The band at hand here, the Eloy, and we're going to play. We decided to center in on a couple of their really classic albums from the mid '70s that are very highly rated by some of our peers who frequent, who rate things like this on Prog Archive and in other places, Music Brains and whatever the heck else you see out there.
Music enthusiasts.
Yeah. But there are, there was a little period in there where they really put out some really classic stuff, and we went right for that. So we're going to play a song right now called Lost the Decision, and this is from the Eloy's Dawn album, released in 1976.
Thank you. wonder, wasting my time, overstrain my mind. Wanna be done yonder. Now I must raise, stop hiding my face, stand up and glide across the border. A picture.
Once again, that was Lost, the Decision by the Eloy from their Dawn album in 1976.
Yes, it is. You know, I started liking this when it opened up with like a Toccata and Fugue
type. Yeah, Phantom of the Opera right off the bat,
and then it went really atmospheric.
Yeah.
And really out there and
spacey.
Spacey,
a
melodic.
Spacey excursion
and,
is what I said, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the type of stuff I like because, you know, I've gotten into New Age over the years as well, and I like that, you know. But New Age basically don't have any drums. But, you know, this kind of reminds me of that. That's the kind of stuff I like to play and write myself because I do dabble in the keyboards a little bit. Yeah. I'm not virtuoso like Emerson or like Wakeman or Banks or anything.
Well, who
but
is?
I know my way around the keyboard a little bit, and I can pick up some melodies and things like that and play some nice chords with it. So, yeah, so, I mean, that you know, that's the start of it. And really, then it started picking up a little bit later on in the song.
Yeah, it was definitely big, lush keyboard chords. And, yeah, you mentioned New Age, and probably, you know, New Age kind of evolved out of some of this kind of stuff.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you get people like Eddie Jobson from UK. Patrick O'Hearn, I don't know where he came from. And then you had people like, who am I thinking of?
Michael Stearns was one that I...
Michael Stearns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there's another guy that I started listening to a lot. Can't think of him. He's from France.
Jean-Michel
Jarre. Yeah. Yeah, and kind of reminds me of that stuff there.
Yeah, you're right. Even the sounds, I think it's the ARP, some of those chords, you know, the ARP 2600.
Yeah, and yeah, the Quadra, or the Odyssey that used heavy in the phase shifter.
Right.
You know, that phase was heavily used back in the day.
Yeah.
And I got one myself. I do like the analog phase.
But the, you know, it was a lot of big chords, bass and drums moving things along. Frank Borneman, we didn't run down who's in the band.
Yeah, well, Frank Borneman is the founder.
Yeah, this is a good time to do that, I think. So, yeah, right. It was Frank Borneman on guitars and vocals, Klaus Peter Matziol on basses and vocals, Jürgen Rosenthal, drums, percussion, and flute, Detlev Schmidtchen on keyboards, mellotron, xylophone, and voice. And that was more or less the same lineup on both of the albums that we're going to be playing here tonight.
Mm-hmm, because they did have a lot of changes throughout the years, but these two albums had that same personnel lined up.
Right. And, you know, things came down a bit after the main, you know, the big intro and stuff, and there was some dramatic punctuations with big chords, like, kind of coming in. And then we got into the main body with the vocals. Mm-hmm. And the vocals on the Eloy are a bit of an acquired taste. You have to get used to them. But, you know, they're German, okay, and they're singing in English, and I always give points when they're not singing in their native language.
Right, you got to. You can't hold that against them.
Right.
Because so, they're trying to appeal to a larger crowd of people. Yeah. They don't want to, you know, speak it in any. It's like
especially
when the Beatles
70s.
Did She Loves You in German.
Yeah.
You know, Tony knows about that. He played it for me years and years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, huh? I wouldn't even know what they were saying.
Yeah.
You got to give a lot of credit to vocalists that do put it in the English language with their accents and things like that.
Yeah. Especially in the 70s, I mean, English was, like, so many Europeans were learning English, so it was almost like kind of a universal language.
It is. You're surprised, I mean, how many people, you listen to the news, and you talk, they talk to people over in other countries, and they're speaking English just as good as we are.
Yeah.
Sometimes even better.
Yeah.
It's our language, and they're speaking it better.
All right, we're going to move things along, I think, here, and we're going to get into the next album. Now, this was from the album called Ocean in 1977, and Ocean was all about kind of the whole Atlantis myth, and the song that we're going to play is called Poseidon's Creation.
Yes, enjoy.
Thank you. distributed the elements of earth. They laid down the foundation stone of highest spiritual birth, which have existed since thousands of years, but is lost now in future and past. Light years away from our daily tears, those unperceived moments which always last. Poseidon became Lord of earthquake and seas, master of oceans and all their wells, god of an island, they lived a family. Was a daughter of beauty and health. Atlantis was the island's name, greatest treasury of all times. Human eyes did never see the same. Silver and gold, fertile hills, woodlands and plains. It was situated in front of the strait they call the columns of Heracles. Cleito was a daughter's name, a princely virgin of clearness and love. So Poseidon fell in love with her and built a shrine on the mountains above, surrounded by a golden wall, and inside he placed his holy law. Son of God, son of God, who've been of supreme being at birth, of pure essence and perfect features. What a divine possibility to overcome evil. So listen what man did.
Once again, that was Poseidon's Creation from the Eloy album entitled Ocean from 1977.
Oh, yeah. It's a longer song. It's a little over 10 minutes, so like 11 minutes and something. And that's the type of material I like. I know, Tony, you don't like the real long ones, the epic ones. As
well, I do. I like them. It's just that on a show like this,
you
know,
you don't have that much time.
Yeah, we don't have that much time to be playing. Play two songs and that's it, you know? I mean.
Yeah, unless you really just play just that one group for that 1 hour that Tony is on.
We could do Garden of Dreams by the Flower Kings. It's one thematic thing that's like 59 minutes long. I think it's one of the longest things I know of.
Or you can do Sick as a Brick, which is over 40 minutes. So, yeah, room for talking there.
Well, there's, yeah. People kind of like break it because you had to flip the record back in the day. You know, but Garden of Dreams is just one thing, and it just rolls for 59
like
minutes.
Any of your classical pieces, which they did put a comparison to classical end, or maybe we talked about it, or Dave and I talked about it, or all three of us talked about it one time. With classical, you just have to sit and listen and have your attention span listen to that piece of music.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot of patience to listen to, you know, progressive music and classical music, because it is a sit-down listening to type music.
Yeah, it's not dancing or, you know.
It's not party music, unless you have a lot of same people. You can be drinking beer and enjoying this stuff, and with a lot of people who like this same stuff. But
music for the mind.
Yeah, it's music for the
and
mind.
Music with some meat to it, that's what I like to say, too.
Well, meat and
there's a lot
guts
more to
and
it.
A lot more to it, a lot more... Yeah. A lot more intrigue, a lot more disciplines, I would say. Well, I wouldn't say disciplines, but I would say more...
Accomplished musicianship?
Yes. More...
virtuoso performances.
Yes.
Kind of stuff.
Take the words right out of my mouth.
A little more technical oriented.
Right, and not just your basic 1-4-5, 4-4 time songs.
Yeah, three chords and a beat.
And
somebody talking.
Two verses and a chorus.
We're going to get out of here. Anyway, Poseidon's Creation, I mean, it had a very dramatic introduction and things got cooking again. And we had some very spacey jamming on this song.
Oh, yes.
And then, you know, rolling bass and driving drums. And then the vocals came in. And again, like I said, you got to give points for, you know, they're singing in English, it's heavily accented. You know, with the German accent, but I thought, you know, this track, it's considered by a lot of people to be an Eloy classic, pretty much, and it's just some great space rock jamming going on throughout.
I agree. It's a very, very good track to listen to.
You are listening to Voyage 35 Radio. Enjoy the music.
All right, well, I think we're going to wrap up on the Eloy because we have another really great band coming up here for the second half of the show, and it's Transatlantic.
Finally. Yeah, I brought it up to Tony like when we were doing the IQ. Because I told him to listen to all of the above, and I know it's a 31-minute song, but I think it's one of their better tracks. I mean, a lot of people, I'm on Facebook page.
Yeah. You're a fan of them on Facebook.
And I'm like a fan of theirs on Facebook, and I mean, one guy mentioned a whole bunch of songs, and they come back with comments, all of the above. And I kind of agreed with that. You know, it's all the songs plus all the above, which would be the top song. A lot of people do enjoy that track. I mean, it's most of their tracks, if you look at their four albums that they do have out, that most of their tracks are 15, 20 minutes plus.
Yeah, it's not uncommon.
I mean, they
you know,
could,
a double
I mean,
disc,
the one,
double disc,
double
like
disc
five,
and most
yeah,
of the second disc is basically
eight,
cover.
Yeah,
so,
you know, yeah.
You know, they did a piece on, they did their version of Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Firth of Fifth.
Right. They do some covers.
And they did a cover of a Beatles song, too, as well.
Yeah. Just for some fun, on the second like bonus disc kind of thing, they've done that on a couple of their albums.
On the one album that we're going to talk about or do today.
Yeah. If you don't know who they are, it's a super group, and it's made up of Roine Stolt from the Flower Kings, Neil Morris of Spock's Beard, Pete Trewavas, the bass player from Marillion, and Mike Portnoy, drummer from Dream Theater and various sessions. And Neil and Mike have also been in Flying Colors together recently with Steve Morse.
Oh, I gotta check them out.
Oh, you didn't listen?
Because I didn't know. I did. I'll have to look back, Tony. Yeah. I've listened to so many of your shows, I can't recall a lot of them. I mean, yeah, some I can, but some I can't.
Yeah, Flying Colors.
Old age, as you currently call me at.
Sometimers.
Sometimers, right. Yeah, anyway, creeps in from time to time.
Anyway, they've made a handful of albums, as Steve said before. We're going to start things off playing a track from, where do we start off? We're starting off with Whirlwind, from 2009. And the song we're going to play is called Spinning. Once again, that was Spinning by Transatlantic from their Whirlwind album released in 2009.
Yeah, that's after a pretty long hiatus. They were together for 2000 to 2002, and then they just broke it off.
Well, they're all in other projects. They're all other bands going, you know.
Good old Neil Morris got into Christian-style music there for a while. But then they got, and then other guys figured, oh, this is the end of Transatlantic. But then they got back together in 2009 and brought up Whirlwind.
And then they went on another hiatus, and then they came back in 2014. Yeah.
But I mean, that's what you get with supergroups. You know, they expanded, and they wanted to do their own separate ways, and they came back. You know, I mean, it's not always the demise of a group,
right?
Especially when it is a super group, as they would say,
right, but sometimes doing other things. They got a day job, and this, you know,
this is just for fun on the side. I mean, you know, you get like someone like Cream, or no, I'm sorry, Blind Faith was it that was considered a super group
Steve
of the sexies?
Clapton,
and they made one album,
yeah,
and then they were gone,
right?
You know, so sometimes you can't, you know, but you give the guy, give these guys a lot of credit. Heck, you know, they got four albums, but I mean, they had other projects on its side.
Yeah, it took 15 years, but yeah, they got four albums. They're good albums, and they're all double discs.
I think they are too. But they are fantastic albums.
Yeah, this one, you know, it's a great prog opening with that organ thing.
It sounded like a lot of Rick Wakeman style, and then they get into...
And the bass and drums accenting it, and then the guitar.
And then they come in with an acoustic guitar, which is really nice.
Yeah, I thought that it, at times, once you get into the part with the acoustic guitar and the singing, it's Ronnie Stolt, and there's almost like a country aspect to the song, especially once he starts coming in with like these twangy guitar accent things.
Yeah, and then
there's harmonies, and it just reminded me a little of kind of like, wow, you know, they're doing country. I can't believe it, Transatlantic, you know, but then the middle is just pure prog.
Oh, all four of them sing, and they harmonize really well. It's not like a CSNNY, but they do harmonize very well.
Yeah.
But then they really got into a lot of the instrumental part.
Pure prog, like I said.
Big time. You got a synthesizer organ, and you got synthesizer choir. You know, it's Yes and Genesis all the way through there.
Yeah,
that's the way I see it. You know, I hear that, you know, especially with the choir, and because Tony Banks was big on the lead in the choir. And also his IQ as well. But yeah, I really got into Whirlwind a lot. But my first track was All the Above. And then I followed on and got into the next album, which was Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope, yeah.
Voyage 35 Radio. Modern progressive rock tunes.
And that's a good segue. We're going to move on into the Kaleidoscope, I think, here. And
yeah, let's do that.
It's the same lineup again. It's been the same lineup for all their albums. It's a super group, and all the guys have more or less stayed the course, even though they went off and did their own separate things. And when they did come back together, they all four came back together. So, yeah, we're going to play from Kaleidoscope, which was released in 2014, a track called Black as the
Sky. Hold on, one more thing on this. They did have some touring members like Genesis did. You know, they had Daniel Glidenow.
Who played
guitar and backing vocals and keyboards 2001 to 2010 tours. And then you had Ted Leonard, guitar and backing vocals and keyboards in the 2014 tour.
Okay.
So they did have additional musicians during those tours, during the live tours. Live tours only.
Ryan Stoltz doing like, you know, five different guitar parts on every song pretty much. I used to hate when Zeppelin would come out. Jimmy Page, it's like he did 10 guitars on Achilles' Last Stand. He's going to come out and play it all by himself. I always thought Zeppelin could have maybe augmented with a second guitar player maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, John Paul Jones did fill in a little bit on keyboards.
Yeah, but like I said, when Page is doing layers and layers of guitars like Achilles, and then he comes out and he's going to try to cover the whole thing by himself, I just thought they sounded really thin sometimes live, and I would have appreciated if they would have maybe had an accessory musician, you know, just a touring musician, like you said, like these fellows, and like Genesis had Chester, and Daryl Sturmer.
Daryl Sturmer on guitar.
Yeah, I even saw him when he opened for Mike and the Mechanics.
Yes, but, Bill Burford before you had Chester Thompson.
Right.
But anyway. A lot of people like Burford better.
Wow. Chester did a great
job. Chester did do a great job, yes.
Can't fault him.
I'm knocking on Chester. It came from Mother's invention of Frank Zappa.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to go on with the track here, Black as the Sky from Kaleidoscope in 2014.
Great song. Enjoy.
Thank you.
once again. That Wicked Little Ride was called Black as the Sky by Transatlantic from their Kaleidoscope album in 2014.
Yeah, which, when it was released, it was considered Album of the Year that year in 2014. Yeah.
Prog Album of the Year.
Prog Album of the Year. And the main title track is Kaleidoscope. I can't really remember.
Yeah.
It's just a phenomenal tune. I mean, this one's just seems like an afterthought because it's only 6.5 minutes long.
The runt of the litter, we were saying while it was playing. And I was like, yeah, the runt of the litter. It's only 6.5 minutes.
And they said it's just like a drop in the bucket for them. Because it's not this big.
Oh, but there's so much in this.
Oh,
song.
Yeah, there is so much on this.
I mean, just that main figure on the synthesizer to start things off. And you got some wicked bass and drum grooves in here, just in case you started to think that Transatlantic is mainly Neil Morris and Roy Nishtolt. No. Mm-hmm. Pete and Mike bring a lot to this table.
And on this track especially.
Especially,
really.
I mean, it's a wicked bass and drum thing in the middle over which you get a lot of synth soloing and some electric guitar.
With it. But, I mean, yeah, the drums and percussion was really... really exploited on this song for a 6.5 minute or a 6:50 minute song.
And then there's like some syncopated things going on in there too, which are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just little percussion things and stuff.
And the harmonies are really good too. And the verses, it's basically a verse and chorus type song. But, it's well put together. I mean, during the chorus, I mean, they all sing and they all harmonize very well. It's almost like reminds you of Utopia. Raw, where all four band members sing their own parts on the one song, Singering in the Glass Guitar.
Singering in the Glass Guitar.
Which is a phenomenal thing.
Jealous forces. And there are always jealous forces in such tales.
That's a great
track.
Hey,
maybe we'll get to that someday.
That was the one song that I missed when I was incarcerated there for a year. Well, not incarcerated in a bad way. I was at a skilled facility for a year.
But anyway, I guess that's going to pretty much wrap us up for this time.
Yeah,
I think
it was good to do this again, Tony.
Yeah.
Thank you kindly for making it mobile and coming on over. Soon I'll be able to come over your place. And
yes, we're looking
make
forward
this
to that.
A little bit more, more a steady gig.
Regular occurrence.
Which I would enjoy because I do enjoy all the material that has been given me in the past and hopefully more in the future.
Well, like
and
I
open
said.
Open up my eyes a little bit more because I'm kind of still closed on a lot of things, but I'm learning to open up a little bit.
Like I said, I think way back when, this guy helped get me into this music way back when. And when I started doing the show, he was the guy that I thought, this is me and him, we're going to do this. And for health reasons, he wasn't always able to do it. And, hopefully you're going to become more of a regular feature
here. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it and listen to some more good music. And hopefully I can, I mentioned these groups to Tony for today's show, and he was kind of really open to it, and I'm glad he was. And even though I asked him to pick one of those, because I had three songs out of
Transatlantic stuff,
but the one was like a part of a song, and we'd rather play the whole song and not just a part of.
Yeah, it had like, it didn't begin and end real nice. It was kind of
right,
segue,
but it's still, it's like playing Aqua Tarkus and not playing Tarkus all the way through. It's like just playing, one little 2-minute version of the more part of this song.
Right.
Which is, I kind of agree with them that you should play the whole song. And yeah, I'd rather play the whole song and then not hear it at all.
Yeah. That's one of my peeves about the radio these days, all these edited versions you hear on classic rock radio stations. If it's a classic, you don't hack a piece out of it.
No.
You play it or you don't play it. That's
right.
How I feel about
right.
it.
Right.
But anyway, we're editorializing, and I think we're probably past our time. So.
Okay, well, it's good talking to you, everybody, out there in Prague Land. I hope you enjoy the show, and be looking forward to talk to you again soon.
All right. We'll probably start picking some new... two more bands or four more bands to do as soon as we turn the microphones off here. But I'm going to say my usual prog on, brothers and sisters. Thanks for coming along for the ride.
Thanks.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.